Hey everyone, what is up? Welcome to episode 2 of season 2 of Meeples and Mishaps. We are so glad you guys decided to come back again with us for another week. We are super excited to get into another episode. We are back after about a year-long hiatus. Super glad to be back with our second episode. Last week we had a lot of fun, but we are ready to get back into it. Like always, I am Corey and this is my buddy.
I'm Kalen, and as we're sticking to our theme for this season, our theme is Waddington's, and so we've picked another Waddington's game. And just a little bit of background on that, and since we didn't mention it last episode, we're looking at games that either Waddington's is the only publisher for this game, or you know, maybe there's only like one or two, and the second one is like a 4-in-1 or. It seems very obvious that Waddington's is the main creator and owner of this game, and so those are the ones. There were quite a few that Waddington's
published, maybe bought the rights for later.
Yeah. So like Milton Bradley put out a game, and then like 5 years later, they grabbed it. And so we've taken those out, unfortunately, because some of those are really, really bad too. But so these are all games that were strictly Waddington's or mainly Waddington's. And so this week we have found another fantastic game, and I'm so excited to talk about it. This game is Grizzly Adams Save the Animals Adventure Game.
Ooh, I can't bear it. I have so much excitement for this game. See what I did there? I used bear in a pun. Grizzly Adams, this game, when we saw this, we were like, we have to do an episode over this game because everybody knows who Grizzly Adams is. And so if Waddington's had their hand in it, then it's probably bad. And so we had to talk about this game, and did they butcher a household classic such as Grizzly Adams? I mean, last episode we talked about WCW and how it was this cash grab, but is Grizzly Adams going to be a cash grab? I guess that's what we're going to find out today on today's episode with Grizzly Adams Save the Animals Adventure Game. Now, it looks a lot of fun, but we're going to find out if it is. So, like always, we will start with the box.
So, the box is it's very colorful. It's bright green and yellow. It's got Grizzly Adams typed across the top of it. And then, of course, it's got Grizzly Adams. It's got his bear, which if you don't know who Grizzly Adams is, we're about to inform you. But he's got his bear that is his best friend. Think of it like a dog, a really, really big dog. And then, of course, it's also got Nakoma and Mad Jack on there, who we will also get into. But overall, not a whole lot to this box. It's very, very much Grizzly Adams. If you know who the character is, if you know the show or you know any of that history, this box will stand out to you. And as soon as you see it without even reading Grizzly Adams, you probably know what this game is and probably know what this game is about. So pretty straightforward. They did fine on the box. Even if it's a little boring, it gets the point across.
It's basically just still shots from the TV show.
So Corey, how about you go ahead and read the description of what the game is that's also on the back of the box, and then maybe tell us when this game came out and kind of the time frame around that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so the back of the box, the description, the thing that is supposed to capture you and bring you in and want you to buy this game. So here we go. Help. There's danger in the forest. An unknown hunter has been setting traps and all the animals are caught. They need Grizzly Adams' help. You play Grizzly Adams or one of his friends, such as Mad Jack, Nakoma, or the Indian Woman. That's what it says in the box. Try to rescue as many animals as you can and bring them to their dens. But watch out. If you get caught by a trap yourself, you'll have to get Ben or one of the other animals to rescue you. Now remember, Ben is his big bear, grizzly bear, friend. And his bear gets him out of a lot of predicaments. So same thing in this game. You can get rescued by your bear friend. Now, this game was made by Waddington's specifically and solely in 1978. It was during the time of the popular, very popular, Grizzly Adams television show. So Grizzly Adams television show ran for two seasons from 1977 to 1978. It's two very short seasons. Now, the reason they made the show was because of the movie, which was The Life and Times of Grizzly Adams, that premiered in 1974. So that movie was a huge hit. And then they decided to develop a TV series about that movie. And of course, Waddington's looking for another opportunity to sell intellectual property and make a lot of money, decided in 1978. The show, I doubt the show was over at this time. It was probably maybe starting its second season. And then this game comes out to probably accompany the last season of the show. And I guarantee they sold a lot of copies of this because everyone loved Grizzly Adams. It was a household show. It was a name. It was, you could watch this guy save and preserve all these animals. And the TV show was based, and before, Kaylin's going to let you guys know about the actual Grizzly Adams, but basically the show and the movie was about this guy who fled to the mountains after being wrongly accused of murder. And he discovers that he has this bond with the wildlife and the indigenous people, and he has this knack for rescuing animals. And he was basically this fugitive on the run being accused of something that he didn't do, and he found a new life in the woods. So that's kind of what the TV show and the movie was about, and they decided to make this game. But before we get into the gameplay, why don't you tell us a little bit about who Grizzly Adams actually was?
All right, so Grizzly Adams was an actual man in the 1800s. He originally was born outside of Boston in a small town, and he was trying to make his trade selling shoes. And so he came up with this plan. He spent all this money, and he shipped all these shoes, and he was going to move, I believe, to Kansas City and start a new business there. And he was going to sell to all these miners who were going to need new shoes, and it was going to be great. And then there was a fire and he lost everything. So what does he do? He decides, I'm going to go try my hand at mining and, you know, try and get some gold. And so he up and leaves everything, moves to California. And what he kind of discovered while he was there was that he was actually better at the hunting and gathering of the food and the pelts of the animals and then selling those to the miners than he was at actually mining. And so eventually he just sort of dropped everything and moved out into the wild. And he met some Native Americans who taught him how to build a log cabin and how to become a better hunter and all of that, which of course served him very, very well. And so one of the famous stories was that as he was hiking, and they talk about this in the show too, is he found a bear cub that was stranded. And so he climbed down and he rescued this bear cub. And the cub was so grateful. And I guess he probably fed it and kind of trained it. But essentially he tamed it. And he ended up naming it Lady Washington. And so he now has this grizzly bear cub that follows him everywhere. And eventually, of course, this cub grows up. And so he's got this full-sized grizzly that just loves him. So again, think of her like a dog, a very, very large dog. But over time, he, of course, captures and hunts and ends up training all sorts of these animals. He ends up getting another one named Benjamin Franklin. And Ben is the famous one. He's the one that is in the shows. He's in the movie. He primarily gained notoriety from rescuing Grizzly Adams from another grizzly attack. A very, very violent. It was a pretty big deal in Adams' life. And then eventually Lady Washington also had a cub. And so he named that one General Fremont, which these are all obviously American names.
Oh yeah.
So names that he would have been familiar with in the 1800s. So eventually after like some attacks and you're just kind of living off the land and being rugged, his body was kind of shutting down, and he could tell that, you know, his life was coming to an end. And so he took his menagerie, so all of his animals that he had trained and protected and taken care of and all of that, and he went and sold them. He shipped them to New York City, and he sold them to P.T. Barnum, who was the famous circus, Barnum and Bailey. And that was kind of his way of making sure his animals were taken care of. And then, of course, also providing for his family that he had kind of left behind when he moved to California, which we don't need to get into that because that's kind of a weird thing in itself. But that's probably what a lot of people did when the gold rush was happening. So, it is what it is. But so, yeah, so Grizzly Adams is very much a real person. I would assume that a lot of the stories that we hear similar to, Paul Bunyan or some of those famous folklore-ish type characters, it's probably not 100% true. But it's probably difficult to argue that he really did have some grizzly bears that he trained and that followed him around. He was known to, have a pack on Lady Washington. He was also known to even ride Lady Washington if he needed to. So, I mean, all of that stuff seems pretty factual. It seems pretty true. And then, of course, they made all these shows and stuff off of him that, TV, Hollywood kind of distorts some
things. Take liberties.
But, yeah. But still, it's pretty interesting to know that that this guy was actually real and that he did all of this stuff and that all of this stuff could be done. He has one of the largest grizzly bear captures of all of history. So it was like I don't remember the size of it, but it was just a monstrous bear. And so he's on record for having caught it.
Oh, wow.
And then a little known fact that I thought was super interesting was the flag for California, for those of you that know, has a bear on it. That bear is stylized after one of Grizzly Adams' bears. And so that's super cool. Never knew, but now we know.
Yeah, I never knew that. Yeah.
Because of Waddington's, now we know.
Yeah, I never knew that. That's crazy.
So that's the history, but this game isn't necessarily based on it. I mean, loosely, but this game is more based on the show. So, Corey, why don't you jump into that?
Absolutely. So the reason we are here today is to talk about this game and the gameplay that accompanies it. So with that being said, Grizzly Adams is a game that is for 2 to 4 players, ages... Okay, this says ages 6 to 12, so sorry if you're over 12, you're not allowed to play this. So just the young can play this. But basically this game, like we read in the box, is you are trying to rescue these animals who are caught up in traps, and you are trying to basically set them free. Now, what you have to do is you take all the... So there's 12 of these yellow discs that are represent animals. And they're all a different type of animal, and they all have numbers on them that basically tell you how much points they are worth. Now, the board is it looks like an 18 by 18 square board. It is this prairie landscape. There's like trees and mountains, and there's a cabin right in the middle. And basically what you are doing, and there's like, it's kind of like the whole Candyland style where there's like these paths that are circles that you kind of just, that represent spaces, and there's like paths you can go down. But basically you take these 12 yellow discs and you place them face down, you circle them all up, mix them up, and then there's these red triangle traps all throughout the board, 12 of them, and you just lay a random animal down face down so you don't know what the animal is until you actually get there to rescue it. And then you place Ben, your faithful grizzly bear, next to the cabin in the center of the board. And the players will also start in the center of the board. So you just pick your character, which is Grizzly Adams, Mad Jack, Nakoma, or the Indian woman. as it says in the game. And this is also kind of weird. In the rule book, there's an asterisk that right next to where it says Indian woman, but it doesn't tell you what the asterisk is for. So I don't know. But anyways, after you place all your characters at the center, this is a typical roll and move game, which I feel like 90% of the games we review are all roll and move, but that's because most bad games are roll and move. So after you all basically roll to see who goes first, highest number goes first, you're going to roll both of your die, and whatever that number is, that's how many spaces you have to move. So when you start moving, you immediately come up to a fork in the road. You can go left, right, pick where you want to go, move up to those spaces. You can't choose to do half of it, a little bit of it. You have to move the whole thing unless you cross over an animal that needs rescued in a trap. Then you can immediately end your turn. And then you flip that token over, and whatever animal it is, you have to take to their den. And along the board, there are dens that you need to take the animal to receive those points. And then basically you just have to collect the most points after every animal has been rescued and you win the game. So you're basically going to go back and forth. One person rolls, moves. Did I get an animal? No. Okay. Next person roll, move. Oh, hey, I rescued an animal. Now I have to find where to take them. And so the only really conflict in this game is if you roll doubles on your die, then you become trapped. That means you stepped into a random hunter's trap. And basically, you are stuck there until someone comes and rescues you. So you can have Ben come rescue you, another player can rescue you, or an animal that's already been rescued can leave its den to come rescue you. Basically, you roll your two dice, whatever that is, that's how many spaces you can move Ben to come find you, or one of those animals to come and rescue you. If they get to your space, congratulations, you've been rescued, and now you can freely move again. And then basically, rinse, repeat, until someone has the most points.
So it's a pretty straightforward game. You're just moving around. You're rolling your dice. You're moving around. There's a little bit of luck in that. Well, obviously, you're rolling dice, so there's luck there.
A lot of luck.
There's a little bit of luck in that. You know, let's say you go down and to the left first, and you hit that first animal. And let's say it's a raccoon. It's like, okay, well, the raccoon is only four spots away, so I'm going to get 10 points if I turn that raccoon in. That would be great. But it could also be that you're at the very top right of the board and you find the beaver. And then now you've got to move literally across the entire board to turn in 10 points. And 10 points is the lowest that you get. I see 4 or 5 animals that are worth 10. So the beaver, the raccoon, the skunk, the deer. And then there's some 20s and then there's some 30s. So obviously, if you can find a 30 that's really close to the den, I mean, you're pretty much gold, right? You're going to win easily. But so there's a little bit there. But like at the same time, if you're the first one to that animal, then you're going to get the points. So there's a little bit of strategy of like, where do I want to go? I guess that's not really strategy. That's luck too. But
yeah, and I should mention too, like one of the downfalls of getting trapped. So say you roll doubles and you get trapped. Here is where the actual conflict arises. I forgot about this. Is if you are a player and you go rescue that trapped player, you get to take one of their animals that they are currently in the process of rescuing. So, Kalen, if you had the 30-point whatever animal
wolf
and you got trapped and I'm only four spaces away from you, on my turn, I'm going to go rescue you. I'm not going to let you try to have Ben come rescue. I'm going to go rescue you from that trap and I'm going to take that 30-point animal and it's now mine until I become trapped and someone steals it from me.
Right. So the only thing I could do is stalk you and hope you get trapped.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, you could technically follow someone around the board and hope they get trapped before. But I mean, what are the odds of rolling a double? You know, how often is that going to actually happen in the game? That's one of those things. There could be no traps the whole game, which would be pretty rare to happen with that much dice rolling. But I mean, it's luck of the dice. You know, there could be one person gets trapped the whole game. you know? And so really, that's really only way you can try to take or, you know, alter the game a little bit points wise is if you can steal something from someone who was probably going to win. Then it's like, oh, I might actually have a chance because I stole this. Now I got to go collect a couple 10 pointers and I might be in the lead, you know?
Right. And I did see somewhere in the rules that there is some sort of caveat for if there's only one animal left, mm-hmm. you might be able to steal it from them, but it didn't expound on that, which I don't know how you would justify or how you would make that happen. Like, oh, there's only one animal left. Okay, I'm going to steal it from you. Goodbye. It's like, that doesn't really work.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty much kind of a null point. Essentially, the only way you can lose it is if you get trapped yourself and then somebody else or an animal doesn't rescue you. So,
yep, exactly.
So that's the game.
Yeah, that's literally the game.
There's not really much else to say. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I'm counting 11 animals, 11 dens. There could be one that's kind of hidden behind somebody or something, but so a decent amount of animals. Again, there's a couple 10s, a couple 20s, a couple 30s. So theoretically, it should be fairly even points-wise, but of course, when you've got luck on your side, I'd rather have Lady Washington than Lady Luck, but in this game, it sounds like you'd rather have Lady Luck. Because you don't want to be rolling doubles, but you want to be rolling high. You want to roll a 6 and a 5 every turn.
Exactly. Yeah. And once again, we should probably also preface, like I said, this is a children's game, ages 6 to 12. So gameplay is, but even this game is more strategic and more going on than the WCW game we reviewed last week, which was for every age group. I feel like this game has more to offer than that one we reviewed last week. And this is also just another cash grab, but there's at least a little bit more, you know, involved, you know, not much, but they at least added the, you can get trapped yourself and you can steal an animal from somebody, the little take that, you know, mechanic, which I don't think Waddington is typically used a lot, but they kind of added that in here. I mean, and that's still kind of a broken thing too, because there's no way to mitigate that, you know, so they add things, but they don't allow you to mitigate things in these Waddington games. But yeah, so very straightforward children's game, which I'm sure a lot of adults also love this game because, you know, it's at least better than the WCW game that we started this season on.
Yeah, there was a reason we started with WCW.
That is the bar we're setting the rest of every game. In this season, every Waddington's game is going to be measured to the WCW bar. I mean, there's not really much else to talk about. We kind of gave you the history of Grizzly Adams. You know, this was a real guy. There was a TV show. There was a movie. And the licensed board game from world-renowned Waddington's Publishing. Once again, they probably made so much money on this game. So many families probably had this. Now, is it a good game? You know, is it fun? What are our thoughts? I feel like this is probably a good spot to go into our final thoughts and kind of just see what we say. You know, I went first last time. Kalen, how about you go first this time?
So final thoughts. Overall, I actually really like this game. I love the theme. Grizzly Adams is kind of this iconic, bigger than life character. Having done all this research on him now, because admittedly, I knew the name Grizzly Adams, but I certainly didn't know all of the rest of this. Right. So now knowing all this, this game is just so much cooler to me. It's very, very straightforward, but again, it's ages 6 to 12. So this is less about, you know, it's not chess. It's not this like massive strategy. It's not some huge dexterity game. Like it's just, roll and move and save some animals. I mean, if you love Grizzly Adams, if you love saving animals, why not? Like this would be a perfect thing to do with your kids or, you know, if you're this age and you want to play with some friends, like it's pretty good. Again, super straightforward. So, you know, don't expect any brain busting or, you know, there's no reason to have a long turn. You should just roll and move. But I think for me, this game, it's not a win, but I also don't think it's a fail. I think it's somewhere in the middle. I think my son would love this game because he loves animals. And so anything that would be, you know, hey, you found a wolf, you need to get it to its den so you can save it. Like, I would have to like take a week off of work just to play this game with him. He would just want to play it so much. And so for me, like that, knowing that kind of says, it kind of speaks volumes to it. Obviously it's not a game I would play without him. And so in that regard, but again, target audience, did they hit the target audience? I think so. I think they nailed it. I like the concept that you can rescue animals. You have to get them to the den. I like that Ben can come save you if you get caught in a trap. Cause that's also very thematic. The characters that are from, the show. So, I mean, I think they nailed the theme. The gameplay is super simplistic. Overall, I like it. I think I'm okay with it.
Awesome. Good final thoughts. So, I mean, I do agree that I definitely think that this is very cool in the sense that, you know, I love Grizzly Adams. You know, I mean, who doesn't love the idea of just living out in the woods, hanging out with animals, having your own grizzly bear that you can ride on like a horse, and, you know, just out there in nature, you know? And so I think that's kind of what resonated with a lot of people, you know, with Grizzly Adams, you know. And this is a game that was made in 1978, you know, so this is a much older game. Like I said, it's much better than our WCW game that we reviewed last week. And so for this being this 1978 game, you know, I think they did a pretty decent job. I think it just still falls short as far as like really good gameplay. But it is a kid's game, ages 6 to 12. I think for kids 6 to 12, I think there's just the perfect amount of strategy in this game, in the sense of they still have some paths that they can pick and move down to try to avoid some players or try to find a quick route to an animal they're trying to get to or a den they're trying to get to. Or if they're quick enough, you know, if someone gets trapped, they have to decide, do I want to go for that person, or do I want to try to get to this other animal before someone else does, especially in a four-player game? So I think for ages 6 to 12, like, the perfect amount of strategy is there. I think there could have been still a little bit more and kids would be able to get it, and some more adults might really want to enjoy playing it with their families, like make it more of a family game by adding a few more mechanics or some more strategy to it. But I think all in all, it's a pretty decent game. Like I said, I don't think they hit the mark either. I think this was another cash grab trying to get some money off of this intellectual property. And they came out with a decent game. Nothing amazing, nothing absolutely terrible. It's just kind of there. You know, it's just the cool nostalgic, well, nostalgic to us now, but not at the time. It was just this cool TV show and movie that everybody loved. It was this cool concept. And so it's just kind of a, yeah, here it is. Nothing spectacular. If you love this game, great. You know, this is for a lot of people. For me, I probably wouldn't own this or really play it, but it's cool to know that this was a game because Grizzly Adams is really awesome. And so those are my final thoughts. And so thank you all so much. We have another episode that we just got done, so that's super exciting. I can't wait to now get into episode 3 of season 2. We have so many more board games that we are going to be talking about with you all. And like I said, we got that bar that every game's got to hit. Is it better or worse than WCW? That's what we're going to rate. Kalen, how many do you think are going to be worse?
Oh, that's tough. I don't know how many are going to be worse. There's definitely going to be some that are bad. There's probably going to be some that are equally as bad. I'm going to say maybe like 3 or 4 are going to be worse.
Okay.
The rest are going to be like, kind of somewhere a little bit better, but not much.
Yeah, and maybe we'll surprise everyone with just a really awesome game that we're hyped about that we want to talk about. But as always, this is going to be a podcast where we take very obscure games that are most likely going to be terrible or bad or just bleh. And those are the games that we're going to talk about. A lot of these are going to be very old games, games you probably never heard about or even knew existed. And that's what we want to talk about. Those are the games we want to find. And this season, they're all Waddingtons. So as always, we'll see you guys next week. My name is Corey, and this is my bud.
And I'm Kalen, and thank you for listening.
This has been a production of the Quirkosity Podcast Network, a network of small to mid-sized independent podcasts with the same goal, to have fun and keep it quirky. Quirkosity, where podcasts and quirky meet. Visit Quirkosity.com today to find out more.